Good morning. I am excited for what God might do through these moments together today. We want to keep deepening our relationships with God and with each other. We want to be people who talk about our faith in Jesus. We want young people to see and hear conversations about baptism. Our roots as a Mennonite denomination began from a choice to be baptized. Baptism then was about citizenship. When infants were baptized, they were looped into the route of taxation. Baptism today is about a different kind of citizenship, a celebration of a decision to follow Jesus. So on this 4th of July weekend, instead of celebrating a country that we belong to, instead of elevating Joey Chestnut, who was crowned Friday after downing 70.5 hot dogs in 10 minutes, I invite us to go back 2,000 years to a humble baby born and yet God, who loves us dearly and eternally. Last week, Seth began our conversation about baptism with great sermon connections about banjos that are meant to be played and cherries that have seeds inside, as do we, seeds of the kingdom, seeds of the gospel that we are carrying, that are bearing fruit. And then Kevin King and Hannah Lehman and Elwood Yoder and Joy Yoder and Katie Moss and Zach Holtzman, all in their leading in the service, testified about good news and faith in Jesus. I encourage you to watch it if you missed it. Over the last several years, most of Zion's baptisms have been at Highland as separate services, not part of a Sunday morning worship service, as a way to care for the persons who are being baptized. And elders have agreed that practice may continue. At the same time, elders are eager to elevate our thinking and our conversations about baptism together as a way of inviting God to plant new seeds that continue to put down roots and bear fruit. So I am grateful today that four people are ready and committed to talking about your baptisms to deepen our relationships with God and each other and to share our baptisms as a testimony for all. Thank you. Carla, Justin, Noah, and Laura. I have shared four questions with the group ahead of time, and anyone is welcome to lead off on any of the questions. We invite God's Spirit's presence here, God's power here, to speak through our sharing together. Let's begin. First question. Tell us why you chose to be baptized and what concerns, if any, did you have about baptism?
I'll go ahead and begin. And as they said, this is for Laura Hare. She's not feeling well today, but she has shared her story with us. She says, I was very young when I was baptized, so my memory is a little hazy about it. I remember an experience when we were at a Bible school, not at our own church, and there was an invitation to invite Jesus into your heart. To me, the adults were making it sound like a really big, scary deal, saying things like, you really have to mean it. There were also many phases of the process, like repeating prayers and going from station to station. So while other kids were accepting Christ multiple nights in a row and collecting bookmarks that said, I accepted Christ, I was staying back, feeling guilty that I wasn't taking the plunge. I was too nervous about the whole process. I don't remember if it was weeks, months, or even years after that, but I remember that one night waking up my parents in the night crying because I was stressing about my salvation status. As my mom comforted me, I guess she explained that I was perfectly ready to accept Jesus into my heart. So she prayed with me to do that. Then my little conscientious self felt better that I was back on the right track. Baptism was the next step when I was ready to publicly declare my decision to follow Christ and join the church.
So I was just baptized a couple weeks ago in my hometown in Christiansburg, Virginia. And I guess, yeah, I agree with the Anabaptist belief that you should choose to be baptized. It shouldn't just happen when you're an infant. So, yeah, I mean, I guess all my life I kind of knew I would be baptized eventually, but I never really thought about it seriously until recently. Actually, when my little sister, when I heard she was going to be baptized, that's when I kind of stepped up. But I guess concerns, there's still a lot I don't understand about God. But I was still ready to make the commitment and do my best.
So I have a lot of friends, not necessarily like friends that I have here, but just like friends in general through my life who, and I think this is probably popular among my age group, but there's just like a lot of like corporate church negativity. Just a lot of it. Just like a lot of negativity for like institutions in general, Christianity as a whole. And all of those, I want to say, I'm not trying to discount those, but that wasn't my experience. And so it's interesting for me to have like, to kind of be like, sometimes to feel like the odd one out when folks, my friend, you know, friends my age, people are talking about their upbringing and their faith experience, and it's like, oh, this was so damaging, and this was so harmful, and this was so hurting. And I often don't know what to say. Like, I love my church. Mm-hmm. I was a product of Akron Mennonite Church. In its heyday, the Mennonite Central Committee kind of hub. And it was a thriving church. I remember the singing, bursting the walls. I remember standing room only. I remember an MYF of 50 people. And there were lots and lots of people who attended the church, very similar to this place, who lived their lives differently. Being that it was Akron Mennonite Church, I felt like half the congregation, or more than half, probably served with Mennonite Central Committee at some point. And there would be a Sunday where everyone would be invited, as we do and have done here in the past, to wear their, you know, like international, it was some like global awareness day. And I just remember like everyone wearing a shirt from a different country. I was born in Jamaica. My friend was born in Botswana. Another friend was born in Europe. And it was because we kind of were part of this. And the faith formation at that church made me who I am today. I'm deeply grateful for that. So it's very interesting for myself. It's like, am I allowed to talk? Like, can I say good things about my church that I grew up in? Am I allowed to talk about the incredibly positive impact that it had on my life? I feel like if I do, I'm like a weirdo. Like, so I grew up in a congregation that had really awesome pastors. Like, I wanted to listen to the sermon growing up. And I have a phrase at our high school that I often use in my role in Eastern Mennonite School as high school principal, where I always say, like, I am somebody. And I stole that from a sermon I heard in high school from my high school pastor. I still remember that sermon. So I feel so grateful to be, and I'm not trying to say everything was like perfect, but I grew up in that. And so for me, I wanted to get baptized because I saw people that I looked up to who were making a conscious and deliberate decision to follow Jesus. And because the youth group was so large, all of these older guys that I looked up to from the time that I could remember were giving their story. And I remember the names of those guys that I looked up to my whole life. And I waited in high school until I was, I don't know, old enough to know that I was doing it for my own self, not just because it's what you did. And I remember, well, I think the second question is, what was it like? But in terms of why did I do it? I did it because I saw people that I admired who I wanted to be like doing it. And I didn't have many concerns about it.
I had to think back 62 years. I'm 75. But I'm very fortunate. At the age of 13, I started keeping a diary. And I have journaled my entire life. And just as an aside, for any of you in middle school or high school, I highly recommend you start keeping an account of your life of some kind. If you have siblings, make sure it locks. So I was able to go back and look at what I wrote at 13 years old. And what I found out was that I joined the church. I mean, I was baptized because I wanted to join the church. That was Zion. Baptism was anticlimactic, and as I'll share with our next question, not meaningful. But what happened before that was what turned my life. My father and I were walking across our farm one Sunday afternoon when I was 13, and he started talking to me about taking Jesus into my heart, being right with God, going the way that Jesus wanted me to. And today I know it was the Holy Spirit. I didn't understand that then. But I felt this prompting, this desire to do that. And I told him I wanted to. And that's the day that I became a Christian. And my life did take some turns, even though I was just 13, that I think were really significant for my entire life. One of those was that my parents would play rook with a family each weekend, different families, and my three brothers and I and the other kids from that family would head out to the barn where we walked across the rafters, played hide and seek and who knows what, and had a great time. I was 13 and I wasn't interested in boys except the kind of romances you had then, and that's a boy would send you a note and say, I like you, and you would give your friend a note to give back to him that says, I like you too. And then a week later, you would be devastated because he liked someone else. So that was the level I was at. However, in two of these families, there were 16-year-old boys. And they were at a different place. And they started touching me inappropriately. And I didn't know what to do because I wanted them to like me. But that day, that Sunday with that walk, I knew instantly this was wrong, and I had to do something. So the next time this occurred, I said, no, I don't want to do this, and left. And they went on liking me, and it was over, and it was fine. But I really cringed to think what might have happened if it had gone a different way. So then when it was time for baptism, I did it because it was expected. My concerns was, would the water run in my eyes or down my dress?
This is so helpful to hear your stories. Thank you for trusting the congregation with your lives and stories. Let's go on to question two. Tell me as succinctly as possible what your baptism was like.
Laura says, I took a baptism class at my church with others who were being baptized or transferring their membership to our church. I was 9 years old, definitely the youngest in my class. I shared my testimony, which opened with the lines, I want to be baptized because I believe in Jesus and want to be more like him. I realize I am a sinner and I want to know what I do wrong so I can change it. I was baptized by water being poured over my head and I was given a Bible.
Yeah, I also took a baptism class with my old pastor, Andrew Fairfield. It was through Zoom because we were all kind of busy with our own lives and in different places, but we just went over the Mennonite Confessions of Faith. And yeah, just did a lot of discussion. And then, yeah, the day of the baptism, it was a nice sunny day. We had chosen this park with a river next to it. And a lot of my friends and family came down, and we had a potluck. And then Andrew took us individually into the water and went over some vows and dipped us in. And yeah, it was a nice day.
I remember having baptism classes, and I really enjoyed them. A lot of them involved other, you know, students in our youth group at the time. I think everyone was in high school, probably between 15 and 18 years old. And the conversations were pretty rigorous and heavily academic and theological. And I reveled in those. I really appreciated those. I absolutely loved asking the hard questions and actually like made it a point to like try to ask the most difficult questions about abortion and gay marriage and all the things. And I really appreciate our pastors. They didn't shy away from that. They leaned right into it with us. And it was empowering, and it was encouraging, and it was like, yeah, keep asking those questions, keep wrestling with this. Like, so the class was something that I looked forward to. I remember giving a speech where I shared a little bit about my faith journey, and what I remember most significantly would be the fact that all of my family came, and my dad has 7 brothers. And to look over there and see like the first 3 benches all full of family, meant a lot to me. And then I remember what felt like an excessive, more than necessary amount of water being poured on me. and the phrase, arise and walk in newness of life.
I think that's amazing. When I was getting ready to be baptized, Zion was totally fundamentalist. The Bible was written to us personally. It was black and white. What it said was what it meant. There were no cultural considerations, no searching with spirit. To even think you could ask a question like you ask, it wasn't possible. There were 7 of us in our instruction class, and it was good. And I'll tell you why it was good. It was because, one, the fundamentalist bishop didn't lead it. And guess who I had? Don Osberger and Jess Byler, if you can imagine. So it was gentle and great. My baptism experience itself was extremely stressful. Because I was joining the church, I had to wear a covering. And some of you may not know what that was. It was a little net hat. And women had to wear it to show that we were under men. So I'd never worn a covering. And we were supposed to be here at 9:15 to get prepared and instructions for starting at 9:30. And until 9:25, I was trying to get this covering to fit my head. And I was stressed. So we got here late and got very quick instructions. My brother was in the class also, and we marched in. Guess what the bishop's sermon was? The importance of the covering. So that's how my experience was totally different from yours.
Thank you, Carla. And there's probably so many other experiences in the congregation. Maybe we'll do this again to draw in more experiences. Third question, what does your choice to be baptized mean to you now?
She says, I see my baptism as the start of my journey to follow Christ. While my faith has evolved and matured, I have never strayed from it, even through tough times of doubt and uncertainty. baptism both is and isn't a big deal. We've all been taught why it is a big deal. I think what makes it not a big deal is that we can't mess it up. God's grace and love covers all our baptisms. I hope that makes sense. I think sometimes as an adult, I feel like my baptism doesn't really count because it was so long ago and I can hardly remember. But there is no expiration for walking with Christ.
I guess to kind of sum it all up, what baptism means to me is following Jesus and loving my neighbor.
Yeah, for me, what it means is less to do with the event and like more to do with a choice to follow Jesus. And I've painted what I feel is a pretty rosy picture of Akronmanite Church. It was great, but it wasn't perfect. But I also was definitely not perfect. So while that, I think in hindsight, one of the reasons why I appreciate that particular church in my life is because I definitely went through a pretty heavy rebellious period, of which my parents could maybe give you some details on. And of which you know, some things I've shared at like EMS Chapel that you could go back and listen to, but particular stories of things that I'm not proud of, and things that I did after my baptism that I would be ashamed of and am ashamed of, right? But I look back on that decision for baptism, and I really look at this question as more holistically and like, what does Jesus mean to you? And I think there's a lot of beauty in that. And I think it's just learning that Jesus means everything through the ups and the downs, especially the downs.
I really love to see baptisms today when it shows for the people that it can show that for, that they're making public a very important choice they've made. For me, the motivation to join the church turned out to be, again, one of those turning point decisions. Even though Zion was fundamentalist, there were Christians in this church that were really following the way of Jesus. And I had a very troubled home. When I came here, I was mentored. I was given leadership positions. I became a leader in my life, and that would have, I don't believe, ever happened without what I found at Zion.
Last question. How can we pray for you as you seek to live as a follower of Jesus?
Laura asked that we pray for wisdom and grace as she parents two young boys, and for her family as she goes back to work part-time this fall.
I guess I have a decent amount of life left ahead of me. So pray that I don't grow complacent in my commitment over the years.
I would ask for prayers for Heidi and I as we are nearing our August 22nd due date. Who knows when the little boy will come, but prayers for our family through that process and the fall starting the school year would be appreciated.
I want to echo what you said. I don't necessarily have a decent amount of time ahead of me. And I don't want to become complacent.
Thank you. Let's pray together. God, I give you thanks for this time this morning to hear one another's stories. I thank you for the transparency, the honesty of the panel in sharing their stories together. God, I thank you that you are everything. There is nothing outside of you. We pray that you would plant seeds that would invite others to consider baptism, that you would, through each of us present in this room and online and watching later, deepen our relationships with you, that you would help us to stand firm to our commitment to you. With Laura, we pray for wisdom and grace in parenting and going back to work. With Noah and Carla, we pray for not being complacent. With Justin and Heidi, we pray for baby on the way, for health, and for that to go smoothly. God, for all that you long to do in this congregation and in this world, invite us in. May we be participants in your kingdom. Through Christ we pray. Amen.